We stay in London now and cries for justice, the sound of furious protests near the charred remains of the Grenfell Tower. It's a 24-story block of public housing that burned last Wednesday, leaving 79 people presumed dead as of today and survivors badly shaken.
All I had on me was my dressing gown, the slippers and the house keys and my phone. That was it.
It doesn't feel real to you?
No, it doesn't. I need to sleep. But I'm now afraid. I'm afraid to go to sleep. Because if I sleep and something happens, I might not know about it.
It took only about 15 minutes for flames to engulf the building. Investigators later confirmed that the building's exterior, called cladding, was flammable and the subject of years of warnings from both safety experts and residents groups. Meanwhile, the aftermath of the catastrophic fire has added to criticism of Prime Minister Theresa May less than 2 weeks after national elections. With more from London now is Dawn Foster, columnist for The Guardian. Dawn, welcome.
Hello.
What kind of building is Grenfell Tower and how many people live there?
It's a relatively tall, you know, a 24-story concrete tower block. It's quite common in the UK. A lot of them were built in the 60s and 70s when slums were cleared out in big cities. The big problem was, you know, as you mentioned, it was updated 2 years ago. And I spoke to lots of residents who said that they had warned again and again about problems, not just with the outside, but also inside the building. In 2013, there were a series of fires. People's laptops, washing machines, fridges, anything electrical started catching fire because there were these huge power surges coming through the wiring. And especially in a building like this, there is often only one fire escape. And obviously it filled with smoke very quickly. And I spoke to people who were trying to run down the stairs, especially from, you know, very high floors, because the lifts weren't working. And all that kept happening was that they kept falling over. The lights wouldn't work in the stairwell. No one could see where they were going. People were tripping over stairs and then tripping over bodies.
It's a horrific scene. And then outside the fire are questions and recriminations about what I mentioned is called cladding, sort of the exterior cover of the building. You mentioned that residents for years had been talking about this cladding, but also government safety experts had warned that the materials in this building were more flammable than they should be.
They had indeed. I mean, this type of cladding in particular, which is two sheets of aluminium filled with, you know, plastic polyethylene, it's banned in Germany, it's banned in the US, so it won't be on the outside of tall buildings in a lot of countries. But in the UK, this was allowed to go forward, etc. There are questions over whether or not the fire safety regulations were followed fully. But basically what happened was there was a small fire on the fourth floor. And, you know, normally in these concrete blocks, they're basically built like a series of concrete blocks, little boxes on top of each other. So when there is a fire, it's contained. But the problem was the cladding meant that the outside caught fire. And then the gap between the cladding and the building on the outside meant that it acted like a chimney and the flames just went up the entire building. I spoke to firefighters and they got there within 6 minutes of being called. And as soon as they turned up, none of them could believe what had happened. They, you know, initially, some people wondered if it was terrorism. And the head of the fire service, you know, she said that she'd been in the fire service for 29 years and she was on the brink of tears and said she'd never seen a fire, you know, remotely on this level. The firefighters were utterly traumatized. The residents were absolutely terrified. But more than that, they were angry because time and again, they'd warned about how the work had been carried out and the work inside. And I think the worst part is that the cost of getting non-flammable cladding would have been, you know, £2 per panel. So for £5,000, the building could have been clad in cladding that wasn't flammable. But just to save that small amount of money, you know, currently 79 people are expected to be dead. But the fire and police service have told me to expect far more.
Well, Dawn, we heard at the top the rage from protesters near what used to be the Grenfell Tower building. What does accountability look like now to those people who know that there was warning about the building materials and know that this disaster could have been prevented?
I think it's accountability on a huge number of levels. So first of all, people want to hear from the council and the tenant management organisation, the small company that looked at the building. They also want to hear from the people who made the renovations to the building. But more than that as well, I think we've seen a lot of anger at Theresa May, at the government, etc. There was a similar fire in 2009 in South London, and afterwards there was a huge inquest, etc. And in March this year, the housing minister, Gavin Barwell, who lost his seat in this election and is now Theresa May's chief of staff, decided that he would postpone a report into fire safety in these sorts of tower blocks around the UK. There are 4,000 of them around the UK, so there are a lot of people who are very, very scared at the moment. And I think it's also symbolic of a wider sort of neglect across the last few decades of people in housing, especially people like the people in this tower, people who are from low income, from ethnic minorities, people who feel they've been completely forgotten in the UK's huge housing crisis.
London and all of the UK dealing with the aftermath of catastrophic fire in a housing block at Grenfell Tower. Dawn Foster, columnist for The Guardian, thank you so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.